Welcome to the Ranking Revolution podcast, your go-to source for strategies, ideas for SEO, organic growth, content creation, and business. I'm your host, Doug Cunnington. This is part two of the interview with Tim Schmidt, and this is one of the many two-parters when I have a sort of a longer interview. In the first part, we talk about getting started in SEO, getting started with niche sites and running an agency, and then we start getting into the challenges of running a community. The fun part is when we left in the last episode, we were talking about adult SEO and maybe some of the racier areas of the internet that you can get into. So we go a little bit more into that. And then we talk about his community and coaching program out there and really the challenges, which I personally know how challenging it is to run either a course or a training program when you have a moving target. And it was moving so much that I thought, well, I don't want to do a course anymore because I don't understand what Google really wants. I don't know if Google understands what they really want or what the users want. But there are still a lot of my friends and peers out there like Tim who are coaching and navigating and figuring out what works. So we get into all those details. If you missed part one, be sure to check it out. And let's just get to the interview now. Is the adult market pretty saturated or crowded? Are there a lot of SEOs working in that? Just, you know, you don't hear people talk about it too much. So I'm just curious, is that like a good area for folks to work in?
Very hard. It's one of the hardest markets to penetrate. But I guess the thing is, not a lot of people are comfortable doing it. You know, they don't want to own adult themed PBNs. I mean, I have a fiance. When we first started dating, she came into my office and I was building links to a transgender page. And she was like, whoa, did a back up and explain my business a little bit. Then I was building links and wasn't looking at that content, you know? So it's a risky business that a lot of people just won't touch it morally or whatever, just for their own thoughts. But it's very hard. It's hard to get backlinks for that niche. So you kind of have to be really creative. A lot of PBNs come into effect. Relationships are key in that industry. Definitely a good one if you can get good clients, but a lot of these guys have been doing it for so long, and these companies are very, very savvy. So they're not going to work with a novice SEO.
Got it. I'm thinking of someone like getting started. If they were like, hey, it sounds competitive, but maybe there's like less people working in that industry and they don't have any moral issue or any other issues with it. Like, how many years of experience, or would you say like you probably need to work at an agency or under an SEO with someone that could kind of show you the ropes? Like, what would you recommend for someone getting started there?
If you're getting started in adult, I would definitely do a lot of homework on the sites that are already up there ranking. Look at their time online, all their backlinks. I mean, some of the authority scores you see on these sites are absolutely incredible. I'm definitely get your feet wet at an agency, or make sure you do a lot of coursework, take people's courses, go to the events. I know there's plenty of SEO events in this world, and really like master it before you try it, because people get discouraged when they do SEO, whether it's doing it for clients or affiliate, when they don't get results. And I think a lot of the people that do that take one little course or learn a little bit of information and try to go with it. When they don't see results, they quit. You really need to immerse yourself and try on something pretty easy before the harder stuff is going to be even attainable.
Okay. Sounds like a slippery slope. Someone could end up in a whole different world if they're not careful. But with that, let's switch over to the affiliate marketing portion. So let's talk about your portfolio. It sounds like you've been building sites for a long time. How many sites do you have? Can you just talk about what we're working with here?
Sure. So right now I have over 200 sites that are technically online. Now I'll say 75% of those are incubated with some content and ideas and are kind of waiting for the right, I guess the perfect storm of like that market niche. You know, there's some that were in health niches where they just, there was a product, like let's talk about Garcinia Cambogia or raspberry ketones, two big, very big diet pills back in the late 2000s. And that ship sailed. Like the search demand went down. I'm sure there's people out there making commissions on it, but that was way before I learned to build, scale, and flip, which is what I do now. You know, when something's hot, get out, take your money, fast forward your earnings 3 years and move on. So there's about 75% that are there, and some are kind of, you know, dormant or waiting for the right, hey, like I have time, I made an exit, let's go to this one now. I'm a domain collector and I like really good domains. And if they're there, I'm going to put them online, let them saturate and, you know, build some links to them over time and let them go. But right now I operate about 12 sites that are a focus that generate cash right now.
Okay.
they're in spaces you had asked about spaces. So, I mean, it's dating, finance, cannabis, sports, travel is a huge one for me right now. Lead generation, precious metals.
Okay. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing those. I know sometimes people are like, what are the sites in? So very competitive. Can you share any kind of scope of the earnings or top line revenue or whatever you want to share? You don't have to, Tim, but I should ask you. And if you don't want to answer, that's okay.
No, sure. So right now those portfolios churn out about high five figures a month, sometimes over six, depending, because it's really dependent on the precious metal space. We do a lot of lead for that, and then we get paid on the back end when people do successfully move over parts of their portfolio into gold or silver backed IRA. That's been a little slow right now because for some reason the stock market's raging. Even though metals prices are very high right now, they typically get into that space when banks collapse. So for example, we had 3-4 6-figure months last year when those three banks collapsed. I mean, the whole world's going, oh my God, banks are collapsing. And we're sitting here like this, you know? So it's just a matter of time before I study the economy. I'm sure you know Greg Morrison. We have a YouTube channel together. We cover the economy and talk about what's going on in it. And I see the writing on the wall. I don't think we're in a great place economically. I think the stock market highs right now are kind of fool's gold. But when that market rages, the earnings go way up. But the rest of the sites and ventures I have been, all cash flow, travel's really picking up right now, which is probably why consumer credit card debt's at an all-time high. You know, no one wants to stop traveling. And if they've got room on their credit card, they're going to go. And that's a fun niche for me that I really got into about 4 months ago. I've been in the niche forever, but never really tried to monetize. I kind of had a travel blog and I'm like, okay, I actually took someone else's course, which I rarely do unless it's like a technical SEO course or something I can learn. I actually took a travel blog course and was mesmerized at what's out there. There's a lot of people doing really well in travel and they've been niched out and they do very well. And I didn't really think about the various ways they can earn money. And all I was looking for was a couple of different ways I can earn money. And I learned like seven just watching this one little series.
Can you talk about one or two of the ones that had the biggest impact?
Yeah. Natural course names.
The affiliate monetization, because that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, sure. So affiliate monetization, travel, like you talk about going places and things to do in places, just simply adding in. So you're talking about best places to eat brunch in Fort Lauderdale. Well, people that are looking for brunch in Fort Lauderdale are probably either living in the area and just are new to the area, or most importantly, like tourism's huge here. They're visiting. So supporting that with content about where to stay in Fort Lauderdale. There's numerous affiliate programs. There's Stay 22. There's Booking. Marriott has a great affiliate program. And not only that, but renting a car. Should you rent a car? What is Uber like? And then when you start telling them all the math about, I mean, you can convince anyone to rent a car anywhere they go when you break down the fact that I live right outside Lauderdale. To get to Miami, which is only 24 miles from my house, on the weekend, to a surge, it's going to be $100 to get a basic Uber, like the low end one. You get a black one and it's going to be over $200. So round trip, you're looking at $400. Renting a car, you can do that for a week on that price. Car commissions are big. So opening up your audience's eyes to that, and just instead of telling them the best places to eat, like support them with, like, hey, while you're in Lauderdale, if you need a rental car, like it's going to cost you this much to get to Miami during the weekend. And a lot of people do that trip. So knowing those in and outs and how to monetize that is very good. But probably the biggest one outside of those, because those seem kind of obvious, is tours. Tours is huge. You know, when you're in Lauderdale, here's a good deep sea fishing trip. And there's so many places you can monetize that. So that's been a really eye-opener for me. And I never even thought of that.
Very cool. Yeah, I know when we travel, I love taking like a walking food tour. I love food. Sure. And then you get to try, you know, a little bite at each place instead of having to order like a huge meal. You usually get like a sampler thing. And it's a history lesson because they walk you around town. So I love those just personally. So I would love to take those and do a review of them. So do you do your own like writing on that site because you like to travel and such?
I do write a decent amount, but nothing like I used to. And I'd like to give a big shout out to Surfer for helping me with that. I'm a Surfer addict. So the way I've dialed in Surfer, the team does so well out there making really good AI content that I spend a lot of time editing it, but not half as much as I would putting my own article, you know, pen to paper and putting it online in WordPress. I share my own take. I mean, it'll spit out things and have the normal AI kind of words in there, like, let's embark on a journey on where to eat in Fort Lauderdale. You know, I would never talk like that. I'd be like, hey guys, I love food probably as much as you do. I've lived here 20 years. Here's my favorite spots for brunch. I'm going to list them in order. Here's some key takeaways. And I'm going to share with you my favorite dish to eat. So when I get that AI map, I'll have my personal touch. Like, I love this place for their bottomless mimosas. I like this place for their Oreo pancakes, you know, like whatever it is. So I do tend to put my own stand on everything. I enjoy it. But more importantly, kind of beat the eat and the helpful content update. Like, we do use this to our advantage and go out and travel a lot. So like the pictures are all, they're real, you know. I don't have to steal them from TripAdvisor or Facebook or anything. Like, I've got my own pictures. Like, hey, here's the crab Benedict I had last weekend, you know, and it's their geotag, you know, so that works out really well.
If I'm ever in Fort Lauderdale, I'm calling you and we're going out to eat. I like all the stuff you're talking about. Well, Oreo pancakes?
One of my favorite spots. I'm a foodie as well.
All right. So you mentioned it earlier. As every year passes, it's a little harder to rank and do SEO. I think the last year, in my opinion, of my 10 years of SEO, AI really changed things. And then there's more Google updates and maybe more impactful Google updates, perhaps in reaction to AI. What's your take, Tim? Am I off base on that? And just fill in the blanks a little.
No, you're not off base at all. The web is getting littered with AI content. And I think that it's a good thing because people are more active with their blogs and their websites about putting content out. And when people get lazy with it, things get stale. To me, just not as intriguing. But I think it's, like I just explained, I think it's something that you can use AI content, but you need to really go in and look at it. I mean, if you look at all your pieces and they come from different platforms, you're going to see the same kind of beat coming in from different things, different lingo, you know, enjoy the succulent wings at this place. It's just these words keep appearing. So I think if you go in and you edit your articles and you do it with the huge time saver, and people that do it the right way are really going to thrive.
You gave us a little bit of a hint where you go in and maybe put things in your own words and pull out some of the language that, you know, you and I maybe wouldn't use all the time when we're just chatting with a friend or something. What other tips do you have about editing AI content so that it is, you know, helpful for the reader yet does well in the search engines?
I think a big thing you need to do is also look in the search engines and see what already exists and see what they're talking about and make sure that this matches it. And a lot of times you're going to see that restaurants and I'm just sticking with travel here for continuity, but restaurants and venues oftentimes are going to be thrown into AI that just simply don't make sense. So for example, I did a roundup of the best happy hours in Fort Lauderdale and they did a really good job, but they listed one that was an hour away and no other article mentioned that one. So I simply went in and I just knew this market. So I went in and just said, hey, this is a fantastic first spot for a happy hour. However, it is an hour away. So it's not technically in Lauderdale, but if you're making the drive north, this is a fantastic spot to go. And then going back into the search engines and seeing what every other person said, making sure that the stories are kind of congruent yet different with your own spin on it. To me, it's just knowing who you're up against is probably the best thing you could do in AI because, again, if you're using a tool like, for example, Surfer, if you don't tell it, it's going to pull from the top 10 results and kind of use the hodgepodge of what's out there to write the article. So it's going to be an overlap and no one's really going to stand out. So you could say, write about the best happy hours in Fort Lauderdale, but make sure to talk about this one, number one. It might be one that no one else listed, which is a good thing. You know, say this is my secret hiding spot that I really like that I don't tell people about often because it's a different place to me and it's usually not as trafficked on Tuesdays when I like to go, et cetera, et cetera. But be a little bit different because otherwise, what's going to happen over time if people are hitting the same topic and they're just using a ChatGPT or another AI writer that creates search engines, everything's going to be a blend of the same information. So I think the people that kind of differentiate a lot are going to succeed long term. And again, that's just theory, but that's for my mind that.
I like that. I think about that too, because at some point, if everyone's just referencing each other's material, you do end up with just like a recursive sort of derivative, set of content for the specific keyword. And let's get some new ideas into it. I know sometimes that's not always possible, but I'm like come up with your own ideas, and you could still use an AI tool to maybe like help you mold it. I'm thinking of more like conceptual things versus, but you gave a perfect example, you know, pick out some different restaurants than the ones that are in the top 10. It's just all the same ones.
And that's just it. I mean, a lot of times you'll see a good way to handle this actually is from the, like, I want to provide a solution. If you go to Google, and this is, I'm obviously speaking how I would SEO this, like with keywords in there. So when I'm saying this, just think of when you're writing for keywords, like, if you're looking for the best happy hours in Fort Lauderdale, you're probably going to run into these five places. They're going to be all over the first page of Google. But I'm a local here, and I'm going to share with you a couple that are also off the beaten path, as well as those five, because there's no disagreeing. Those five are amazing. So here's my list of the best ones I like outside of that list, and I'll go into those five as well. It's a good way to differentiate yourself and create something that's different. And of course, maybe tell people that you're real, which is a good thing.
And that's perfect, because I can see a headline or a YouTube video or whatever where it's like local favorites, like versus the, you know, the ones that are on the Food Network or whatever. Although I like Guy Fieri. I mean, he's fine. I love his shows.
Look, Triple D.
I can't watch enough of those. All right. So as we're wrapping it up here, you also have, is it a mastermind? It's sort of a course community type thing. Can you describe it? And I want to dig into some of the details on that, but what do you have going on with that?
Sure. So Affiliate Rescue is an affiliate marketing training course that starts at zero and goes all the way to the bonus section. It's basically constantly updated with hacks that happen every month that I learn and keep uploading new content. But it basically teaches all the methods that I offer in affiliate marketing, from starting a site to theming your site to content production, strategy, structure, backlinking, outreach, all that stuff. And it teaches the whole model that I do about building, scaling, and flipping. And that's just what it is. It's 40, 50 hours of video right now, all inside. And then there's an option for mentoring. And that's a private group where there's a monthly fee with that. People can apply to it and be in it. And that's on top of it. When you're a private mentor, you get access to the course for free that comes with it. But that's kind of where a thing where we get on the phone a couple times a month and I actually sit down and say, where are you at? Look at it, outline next steps and in the form of homework. Okay, before we meet again, you need to do this, this, and this. And then we're going to go to the next step. And basically, like, I'm advising their business along the way to help it grow. And people can do that for 6 months or a year or even longer if they want, as long as they need me. But basically, I take accountability in their business and we look at successes, failures. And I do treat it like it's mine. So I don't say, do all this stuff. And then 2 weeks later, if we didn't do it, okay, well, you know, okay, we have nothing to talk about today unless you have some questions, but we need to go back and do that because there's a process here. So again, there's a price for the course and then there's an additional for mentoring and that's a private thing. We are doing a private meetup later this year at some point. So people have access to that as well. I'm involved in the Forge community, which is Greg Morrison's mastermind. So I speak a lot there. That's just a totally different thing I do, but that's how I kind of stay in the game and speak with people. And, you know, I do get students from there as well. So yeah, it's a pretty cool community. And again, we're just all people out there building niche sites, trying to help each other grow and get it going.
So with all the changes and more frequent Google updates, at least it feels that way. I haven't looked at the list of all the updates. How are you staying on top of everything? I know you mentioned a couple things, but you're potentially creating a lesson that could be out of date in a few months. So how do you reconcile that? Because that's a really difficult thing to do, not knowing how long something will be successful.
Sure. So a lot of the fundamentals last, you know, when you're creating a topical map and creating content that goes around that, that's a fundamental that I don't ever see going away. And I know it's become a hot topic in the last couple of years. The fundamentals of building a good content structure, writing your content to recommend, not necessarily sell, but to recommend and talk like an expert, that's not going to go away. So I would say 70% of the course is fundamentals that you'll hear a lot of other affiliate experts talk about as well. The other stuff is technically like in a bonus section. So it's like, hey guys, like, I don't know if you guys are doing newspaper articles, which we call Parasite SEO. This little hack's working right now. Here's how I'm personally attacking it. You know, and the minute it doesn't, there'll be an updated video being like, hey, that tactic is gone. Or I might remove the video overall, but, or put it in a, you know, a historic archive of some sort, you know. But yeah, you know, you're right. Things do come and go. There's a lot of different strategies out there. Like right now, and I haven't done it personally yet, but I have friends that are really getting involved in Reddit and ranking Reddit, subreddit. And it's working very well. I don't know how long that'll go on, but it's a topic I'm diving into very soon. So you're right. There's a lot of things out there that come and go, but once you have access, it's a one-time fee. When there are new things, I update and I advise and say, we have probably a Facebook group too. Any member gets access to that. So there's always chatter in there as well.
Cool. And that makes total sense. I mean, a lot of things probably haven't changed dramatically in 8 years or so. I mean, there's some tweaks, but the main idea, the main concepts behind it will hold true, or they're just like good practices, even if some of the details switch. If someone, outside example, if someone reads the 4-hour work week after whatever, 16 years since it's been published, the tools are all different, but you can still get a lot of value from the strategies and ideas and think, oh, well, I don't need to use that tool. It's now changed to this other platform, or now there's learning management systems and you could like go over to Teachable or Kajabi or whatever and have your whole course set up in like 15 minutes, which back in those days, you probably had to like get it coded custom. Right. It cost like $18,000 or something like that. It takes 6 months. So yeah, very
and,
cool.
And lenders change over the years too. I mean, I don't even use the same late builder that I did 2 years ago. I've met a whole different crew of people that I work with and I've been introduced to people. I went to a great event put on by Craig Campbell last summer in Vegas, and I met so many people, and I've been buying links from all different sources that have been working really well. So those vendors are all covered in there. The cool thing about the course is I talk about where I buy all my stuff. I have all my resources. When you need this done, you go to this guy. This is where I go for this. Oh, I found this one. This one, I'm testing it right now. I'll let you know how it goes. So I'm very transparent with everything, and I do over the shoulder reviews of what I'm doing on my own site, how I'm doing. It's accountability for me, which is why I like it. You know, more than anything, it's not a huge moneymaker thing where I just want to sell a course and, you know, I'm done. I sold a course. No, I like the accountability. I like when students are like, hey, what did you do last month? You know, how did your gold site do? I like that.
That's cool. So let's see, as we're wrapping up here, pause just for a second. So let's say someone enrolls in the course and they get the mentoring as well. How long should they expect to put in, say, 10 to 20 hours a week before they start seeing some results? And assume they don't have any knowledge. They're just like, I want to start a website and get something going on the side.
I think if you're starting with a brand new website, 10 to 20 hours a week is pretty good. And I would say by month three, you're going to start seeing traction if you've done A to Z that I cover in the course, right? And you've got a topical map and you're executing it and you're interlinking it and you're building links. Within 3 months, you're going to start seeing that, okay, I'm seeing traffic. I can see where this is going, right? And then by then, you're going to hopefully learn it and be on a pace where you can start generating, you know, positive cash flow within 6 to 9 months. That's the goal, because it's a lifetime of skills. I mean, a lot of people will look at it and say, yeah, I did this for a year, but I didn't make money, so I quit. But like any trade, if you go learn to be a carpenter and you do it for a year after going to school for it, you didn't make money, because your money was spent at the school, right? You need to do it for a while. So again, it's a life skill you can learn forever and do and hopefully churn out a living, whether you want to do something part-time to make that $1,000 a month, or you really want to be a super affiliate and go for those high five-figure, six-figure months or more. It's out there. It's a skill set. But a good 3 months of work at 10 to 20 hours a week. And again, those things are niche dependent. If you're out there, you're like, yeah, I'm going to go for precious metals, which is one of the hardest spaces out there right now. You're going to have a bigger ramp up period, right? But if you pick a small niche that has maybe, you know, 20 sellers on Amazon, it's not a super high traffic thing, like best pre-workout coffee. That might be a hard one. I don't know. I'm just saying something that's smaller. You're going to have a way better time doing that and figuring it out. So there definitely is a ramp up period. Everyone thinks it's overnight. The biggest takeaway I could give, and this is inside the course as well, but it's free info for anyone. And I'm a mentor with them, so it's kind of a self plug, but Otis Global sells age domain names, which will fast forward your efforts in growing your site beyond any shadow of a doubt. Getting a site that has age and backlinks to it is the best way to press fast forward. I know this isn't Nintendo, this is now a DVD player. We're going from chapter 2 to chapter 14. When you're buying a site that has age and power behind it. And again, I work at Otis as a mentor there. So I help people buy those kind of domains. And I'm sure Alex would love that I mentioned that. You can contact me at Otis as well if you'd like. And I'm happy to help you find a domain that fits your interest, your niche and everything. And more than anything, it fast forwards your digital marketing efforts quite a bit.
For sure. And I'll give a plug too. I'm a mentor as well over at Otis, and I'm chatting with Alex pretty soon here. So yeah, it is one of the little hacks that you can do. But like everything, it's a trade-off. There's a cost to get an aged domain, but it does. I mean, it's like a little fast forward. So very awesome. Well, Tim, this has been amazing. I think we covered so much, but if people want to find out more and connect with you, where do you want them to go? And we'll link up for all this so people can check out the show notes, but where do you want them to head to?
Sure. My agency website is websiterescue.com. From there, you can go to the bottom. If you want to learn about the affiliate rescue course, just click on Learn Affiliate Marketing. That's there. We put a link in that as well. I'm on Twitter at Tequila Reviews. That's a passion project I have. I do a lot of YouTube, Twitter for that. But at Twitter, I interact with the whole Twitterverse and internet marketing. A lot of guys on there at Tequila Reviews. That's me. And YouTube is Ice Cold Marketing.
Very good. Well, thanks, Tim. Hopefully we'll catch up soon.
Absolutely, Doug. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot to Tim for hanging out and chatting with me. It's a small world out there. It was interesting. It's always interesting when I learn that someone else worked, or like Tim almost worked at the same company that I worked at 20 years ago or something like that. And somehow we ended up working online and our paths crossed like 20 years later. So check out Tim's stuff. I'll link up to all the places that he mentioned in the interview here. And if you want to help out the show, like right now it's not sponsored, or at least, you know, at the beginning part when I'm launching the show, it's not sponsored. So I'm just bringing it to you myself. So it's brought to you by Doug. And if you want to help me out, it's free. All you have to do is leave a review on Apple or Spotify, wherever you listen. If you happen to listen somewhere else and they let you review, that's great. Leave it there as well. If you're over on the YouTube side, like the video, make sure you're subscribed and leave comments, have discussions, leave a comment on every one of the videos. Even if you don't even have like a meaningful comment, you could just say, thanks for the video. Anything like that is helpful. And I think that's it for today. Thanks a lot for the support, and we'll catch you on the next episode.